This is the Quality News Network. Iraq's vice president flew to Turkey today for emergency talks with authorities. Turkey has asked for permission to cross into northern Iraq to battle Kurdish separatists. However, the Turkish premier said that if his parliament approves cross-border raids, quick military action would not necessarily ensue. Word now is that Iraq fears a raid by Turkey could trigger intervention by other neighboring states. Pressure is ratcheting up against the Myanmar dictatorship. Yesterday, the EU adopted tough new sanctions against the military regime. Today, Japan cut off all aid. President Bush has threatened economic penalties if the junta doesn't ease off its violent crackdown on the country's pro-democracy movement. Chinese and international human rights groups say that Beijing has launched one of the broadest attacks in years on what the communist government calls potential troublemakers. In Washington today, President Bush met privately with the Dalai Lama. Beijing is demanding the president cancel a public appearance with the Tibetan leader tomorrow when he receives the Congressional Medal of Honor. It would be the first time a current U.S. president has been seen in public with him. In the latest sign of warming relations between Israel and Palestine, both states' tourism ministries are exploring cooperation. Discord came between the two in 2006 after Hamas took power in the Palestinian Authority. Hamas doesn't recognize Israel's right to exist, and Israel shuns Hamas, which has killed more than 250 Israelis in suicide bombings. President Bush urged Congress today to help modernize the VA system. He said the White House lived up to its July promises, and now it's up to Congress to finish the job. The legislation at hand will streamline the way disabilities are evaluated and compensation is awarded to wounded service members. The largest cockfighting raid in U.S. history netted 5,000 birds and 50 people in San Diego yesterday. Actually, most of the raids took place over the weekend. The net snared roosters, hens, and chicks at a compound near the border. One of the locations, authorities said the site had been a, quote, bird factory for years. Those arrested face 1 year in jail and a $5,000 fine. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Living our lives in a civil fashion is a declaration of intent. It says we are ready to put our better selves forward for the well-being of the community. It's like romance. When you fall in love, you are on your best behavior. The delight in making a loving connection with someone brings out the best in us, naturally. It is natural to acknowledge our fellow human beings with a nod of the head or a smile, to show them the respect we would want them to show us. The more we are civil with strangers and with those who already know us, the healthier a spirit we create for ourselves, for each other, and the surrounding community. George Washington, the founder of a great nation, declared, "Every action done in company ought to be with some sign of respect to those that are present." Civility is essential to community health. For more information, click on the Civility button on our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Scientists at the Centers for Disease Control have become alarmed at the overall incidence rate of invasive infections of a drug-resistant staph superbug. The germ is most prevalent in hospitals, but now they're saying the number of deaths from the germ could exceed those caused by AIDS. England's national health system isn't working as planned. Not all dentists are required to accept NHS patients. Others are turning patients away, leaving many to resort to extreme measures, including self-extractions to remove teeth and superglue to keep them. 20% of Britons surveyed have opted out of dental care altogether. Two bicycle recalls are in the news today. 22,000 Huffy, Howler, and Highland bikes made in China have a faulty crank that can come off and cause the rider to lose control and wipe out. The other recall is for 5,700 Oro disc brakes. These ones are made in Italy. Their hand levers can separate suddenly, not letting their riders stop. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson called for an aggressive response today to deal with the unfolding housing crisis. He said it presents a significant risk to the economy. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow lost 72 today. S&P 500 dropped 10. Oil closed at $87.61 a barrel. You're listening to the Quality News Network. I'm Michael Coleman.
We'll be right back. radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the Dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 56 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. I'm very glad to be back today. I missed you guys last night due to an unusual work schedule. This weekend was really a lot of fun. The AIDS walk slipped up on me. I had forgotten all about the AIDS walk coming up in Tallahassee on Sunday. So I rushed out and went to the AIDS walk. It was quite an adventure. Lots and lots of folks there, lots of people walking their dogs. And what was amazing to me is on the route, on the walk route, there were many, many businesses with folks holding signs saying that this business or that business supported the local AIDS Resource Center, which is in Tallahassee, the Big Ben Cares agency. And it occurred to me that if it had not slipped up on me, what fun it would be to do a live remote broadcast from one of those. I'm thinking about doing that next year. You know, I have a generator now that was donated by one of our listeners, so power is not a problem out in the middle of the walkway. And I could even have a microphone where folks step up and speak out about the AIDS walk and about what's going on in Tallahassee. Be a lot of fun. Hopefully be able to get to that next year or even sooner for another event. Today is Tuesday, October the 16th. If you're listening at approximately 9 p.m. in the evening on a Tuesday or 6 p.m. Pacific time of October the 16th, you are indeed listening to a live program, and you are welcome to phone in and talk with myself and the guest. I'll be telling you more about our wonderful guest in just a few minutes. The telephone number is 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877, the number 4, head on. Or if you have unlimited long distance, please use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia and saves the studio a buck or a nickel. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And as I say often, I try to check the email during the breaks. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to all of the guests as well as to the audio archives from the past show, as well as to the chat room is active as I speak. The Head On Radio main site is available there. You can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. There are links there also for the MySpace page and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. And again, I'm so glad to have you with me this evening. Our guest this evening is none other than Daryl Russ. I'm very pleased to have Daryl with us this evening. Daryl is a singer and songwriter based in the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area. His styles range from disco and soul to country and R&B. A man after my own heart. He spans the range I do. His stage performances are high energy and the crowds love him. Daryl's completed I Don't Remember Me. It's a 3-song EP released in March of 2006, and it's featured some of his best work and was produced by some of today's best producers. It was released and supported by a number of performances and press releases, radio appearances, and he is currently in the studio recording a full-length solo debut album, which will feature all new material when that is released in the fall of 07. Now, it may already be released. I'm not sure if I have the correct time frame here. We'll have to ask Daryl when he joins us in just a second. But if it's released or when it is released in fall of this year, the album will also be accompanied by a promotional campaign, performances, parties, clubs, festivals, radio stations, the whole gamut. An interesting thing about Daryl is that he has co-written and recorded a song for his nephew, who is Lance Corporal James W. Higgins, Jr. Now, Lance Corporal Higgins died while in combat in Iraq in July of 06. Daryl wrote the song with his best friend, James Campbell. The song is called Have You Learned to Fly? His sister, that is Daryl's sister, is also James Campbell's mother. is campaigning to build a national memorial for fallen soldiers at Rest Haven Memorial Gardens in Frederick, Maryland. In fact, on July 27 and 28 of this year, CBS Evening News covered the first annual Lance Corporal James W. Higgins Memorial Poker Run Benefit, and there Daryl recorded the track Have You Learned to Fly Twice via videotape for CBS. We are, in fact, looking forward to hearing that track. As you know, we are a very political network here, so that will be one that we don't want to miss. We have a number of his tracks uploaded to the studio. We'll be listening to a wide range of music, everything from high-energy dance to some of his slower tracks. And last but not least, Riding Home from Baltimore, one of his tracks is getting a whole new makeover in Germany by an outfit called VAM United Records. It's going to be completely reproduced, and the song's going to be released to radio and clubs in Germany and in the Netherlands. He's working with a couple of video producers now to get video shot to accompany the song. It's going to be filmed in Baltimore, Maryland. So without any further ado, Daryl Russ, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
Good evening to you, sir. I'm doing fine. It's so nice to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, I'm so glad I discovered you, or you discovered me. It was through our good friend Glenn Rivera. He's good at connecting people, is he not?
Oh, yeah, yeah. In fact, he's actually going to take one of my songs and extend it. He's going to do a little remixing for me.
One of his restructured mixes. We love to run those here. In fact, he's just released a new restructured of Grace Jones' La Vie en Rose, which I think we'll get to this coming Friday evening. It's fabulous.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, I get his emails every day, and I always comment. In fact, he just did one on a song that I love, Sky High by Jigsaw from way back in the 70s. Love that song.
Yes, I saw that come through. Daryl, do you hail from the Baltimore, Washington, D.C. area? Are you home there?
Yes. I live in Frederick, Maryland, which is, if you look at Maryland on a map, there's 3 points, Baltimore, Washington, those are the highways. 70, 95, 695, the Baltimore-Washington beltways. 70 and 270 connect Frederick via Baltimore and or D.C. So I'm about 45 minutes outside of each city.
And how did you get started in the music business? Do you come from a musical family?
Yes. My mother was a country and western singer, pretty much. Started here back in the late 50s. My aunt owned a beer joint, if you will, and my mother used to go down there and sing with the jukebox after school, chomping her chewing gum, and a drummer came in there one day, and he just happened to be in a pretty well-known group there here in town, Lou Wade and his orchestra. In fact, Lou Wade, who I just spoke with maybe about 2 weeks ago, we had a nice conversation because they did a piece on him, and he had played with Patsy Cline and some other notables that were from this area as well. And anyway, his drummer invited Mom to sing with the band. My grandmother wasn't real pleased about it, but nonetheless, she went out and started singing. And in fact, she used to run into Miss Cline at the Jimmy Dean show in Washington. And also, they used to play up in this area too, because Patsy Cline did live here at the time in Frederick. And she said, Patsy said, hey, you're real good, little girl. My mom said, when she told me that, she was drunk. But my mother
I'll
had
be
a
darned.
Record out in the 60s. And
she did.
Didn't
what
really
was
wear
it?
Them.
What was it called?
It was called, it was a 45, Don't Wake Me, and then the flip side was Another Hurt. And they were great songs, great songs. It just, I don't know what really happened. She's a good-looking woman, beautiful woman. Great voice, great stage presence. I don't know. I guess it just wasn't in the cards. And
you know, back in the day, there was a lot of payola going around with the DJs. There were a lot of well-greased palms that caused a lot of good music that never appear.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And she had won a big contest. And in fact, my mother and father met playing music. My father was an established musician in his own right, and my middle name is Martin, and he played a Martin guitar, which he lost to his first marriage, and that's where my middle name came from, was Martin, and I always thought that was kind of a cool little thing.
I think so, too. Does the track still exist that your mother did?
Yes, in fact, I was willing to, I got a hold of the people who have the, I guess, the master of it, if you will. Now, you know, this was 1965, so everything was done on one track. I wanted to get her vocal pulled off and get some new music played under, but I don't think the technology is there for that. So, unfortunately, I don't think I'd be able to do that. I just wanted to do that for her. And she went with me on a recording session, and she's like, well, this is different from when I did it. I went in there with poison ivy and a cold and cardboard box, the walls lightly padded, and I went in there and cut it, you know, after about, I don't know, three or four takes. She says, you guys are putting the song together as you do it. And I said, well, yeah, we're finishing the writing as we go, and we just go boom, boom, boom. And so it's a process, and I, for one, never ever thought I'd be able to write. Now, I'm not Lennon and McCartney, but, you know, if I'm inspired by something, that certainly helps. And I just figured, well, you know, some of the best songs, what was that lyric, the best love songs are written with a broken heart, was that the Carpenters? You know, if something really unnerves me and I get together with the right people, we can put it together.
Well, I'll be perfectly honest with you. We love to play music on this program that has some history attached to it or a story attached to it. So if you ever are able to create an MP3 of that original 45 RPM, I would love to play it. I'll even let you know ahead of time your mom can tune in.
Oh, I would love to. If I can, like I said, I got contacted the guy, and he gave me, I have a CD of it here somewhere. You know, the quality of it was not as good as I would like it to be, you know, because I guess age, I mean, it's been in some studio archive for God knows how long, but yeah, I'd love to get it to you if I can. Yeah, that would be great. I mean, that would just, you know, put a little light in her eye.
We often play tracks here, well-loved 12-inch singles that have plenty of kicks and pops and signs of well-worn love, so that would be just fine. Daryl, did you go through a vocal coach or singing lessons? Because you were accused of having a fabulous voice. Let me just quote that right now.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm under the weather right now. I'm fighting an allergy. I was like talking like Barry White, you know, a couple of days ago. I was like, real deeper. it's that time of year. But no, really, I did not have any real vocal training. I would eventually, you know, if I go on the road or something like that, yes, I would need a vocal coach, you know, just to make sure that what I'm doing, if, you know, I'm doing anything that might not be quite right, you know, I'd want to know about it. But generally, I sing from my gut. I learned that basically in high school. But my voice is just kind of innate. In fact, today I was in Baltimore for my day job doing a conference down there, and we were sitting in the Inner Harbor having lunch, and I heard Roberta Flack's Killing Me Softly come through the speakers in the atrium there. And I'm like,
who could resist?
Oh, my God. Love it. I said, I used to sit on my hobby horse all
dear
afternoon
Lord.
And sing that song.
That's priceless, Daryl. You know, we go back, we were just from the very start, we were hopeless, weren't we? You know what I'm saying? We were just so attracted to it all.
Oh, God, that was, and as I understood, you know, when I hear songs, you know, I want to know about them. And as I understood, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, but as I understood that song by Roberta Flack was inspired by Don McLean. I could be wrong, but I understood.
Interesting. I had not heard that, but it wouldn't surprise me. Don McLean did some wonderful stuff back in the day.
Yes, he did. Beautiful stuff.
Well, Daryl, tell us about this this CD that you're currently recording. And has that been released, the new work, or are you still in the studio?
It's behind schedule. Oh, yeah, but it's going. I was trying to get it pressed by Thanksgiving, but it looks as though, because what's going on in Germany, he's working on a movie. Razvan Karaman is his name.
Yes.
And he thinks this song "Riding Home from Baltimore" is a hit. He says I'm getting to work on it as fast as I can. I've gotten, you know, messages on MySpace from people in the Netherlands. They're like, "Oh, we love this song. You should release it there." I'm like, "I've never been to the Netherlands, but I'd love to. You know,
well, apparently, yes.
So you know, he was talking about releasing it in November, and I thought, you know, that's kind of a weird time to release the record, because basically, you know, working from the retail end that I used to work in, generally, if you were going to release, you would release in the spring and hope to build momentum for the summer, or you would release in the late summer, fall, to try to build momentum for the Christmas season, if you will. So I thought November was just kind of an odd time. So, you know, I've got the photos done. I'm working with a graphic artist for the artwork for the CD. I've got the lines written. I have to add you in there, by the way.
Well, thank you.
All of that's coming together. The video got put back by about 2 weeks. I just got a hold of the videographer again today. We were trying to settle something down. We had a rooftop in Federal Hill in Baltimore that we were going to use, but I'm worried about that now because of the weather. We're still going to film in Baltimore, but we may actually cut my lip sync verse parts, if you will, up here. Because you're not going to know the difference. But when you go through Baltimore, you'll know Baltimore. The song, as I may have mentioned to you before, really isn't about Baltimore. But nobody would really put that together. And Baltimore is a great town. Never been really given a song, so why not?
And this is a track called Riding Home from Baltimore.
Yes. And the song, actually, but you have to listen to the words. And again, I'm not Lennon and McCartney, but I was in New York. Let's see, that was late 03. And I met one of my favorite musical artists, Donna Summer. And I can still see her beautiful brown eyes looking up at me. And I went, can I get a picture with you, Donna? And with that love to love you baby look and those bedroom brown eyes, she goes, well, maybe. You know, and I'm like, oh.
Now, this was your encounter with Donna Summer. Amazing. Was this having anything to do with the Hard Rock Cafe thing, or you just happened to run into her?
No, I knew she was going to be there. No, the Hard Rock Cafe, I sang there History Month, along with several other people, I think just a few months before that in February. And I was so pleased when I heard about it. I'm like, yes, I want to do that. I want that venue. And it was a wonderful show. I did Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel. That's an old disco classic.
Sure.
And got a great response. And I always did the song Unchained Melody. I won a lot of money singing that song.
Great
and
song.
And I did that. You know, that's Blue Eyed Soul.
Well, we're going to run Riding Home from Baltimore in just a minute. But I have to ask you about Donna Summer. What was that like? What kind of, how did you, I mean, she's a legend. How did you feel talking to her?
Oh, I loved it. I mean, it was such a whirlwind. You know, I went up there and I went down to Chelsea in Manhattan, and there was lines of people. I mean, it seemed like forever. But I got her autograph, got her book. Then I found out she was going to be at Borders the next day down near Ground Zero, and at NBC. Well, I went to NBC before Borders. Naturally, she was taping John Walsh's, he had a talk show at the time. I got in, and they were taping her segment because she was going to be on the show, Chaka Khan and Grandmaster Flash. But I only made it to her segment, and I got asked. I got picked to ask her a question, and they edited out my question because I asked her about her visual artwork, but I told her, I said, you know, Donna, you are so beautiful, like your song says, you are just beautiful. And that made the air. And in fact, I got a tape from Phoenix, Arizona, from a friend that had seen it. She's like, oh, it was really cool. And I watched them like, I didn't look too stupid. And then I got down to Borders a little while later, and I stayed till the end and really got to talk with her and her husband, Bruce Vedano. And I got some pictures taken with her that got pressed back here at home. And it was just a wonderful experience meeting her. And, you know, I mean, this lady has no dichotomy. I mean, she's just, you know, she's who she is. And she's a real, genuinely sweet woman. beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I'm so excited that she's nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's about time.
Maybe you can do a duet with her sometime. That would be an amazing thing.
Oh, you never know. Jump at the chance. I actually do know a producer in Germany that is supposedly going to be doing a record with her. And I said, you call me. You let me know. I'll be on the first jet. I'll sing backup. All you got to do is let me know. I'll be in Baltimore at BWI and out the door.
Oh, I should think so. Well, before we run Riding Home from Baltimore, tell us the story about the song. You said Baltimore doesn't have a song written about Baltimore, but it's not really about Baltimore. Tell us about the song.
The song, okay, it was, I was inspired after meeting her, and I remember I was talking with a friend of mine, and I said, well, you know, the first time I remember hearing, well, I knew who she was, and that I, this was the first real musical, surreal experience I ever had. I was, I was little, and I heard Last Dance on the radio. We were coming up I-70 from Baltimore, and I had these visions go through my mind. I'd never seen the face. I didn't know whether she was black or white. Of course, I wouldn't care. You know, I just heard this beautiful voice, this beautiful sound, and again, visions of tropical islands, and, oh, I mean, it was just a surreal experience that I never forgot. And they said, well, that's the title of the song, Riding Home from Baltimore. Why not?
I'll be darned. Well, this, and now this Riding Home from Baltimore, is it part of, is this the version we're about to hear? Is this the new German version or the, I'm sorry, I'm confused on the history.
No, this is the current radio edit produced by Blake Alphen at Human Factor.
Okay, great. All right, well, we're going to run that then. This is Daryl's track, Riding Home from Baltimore, Human Factor Productions. That's amazing. Who would have thought that anyone would write a song regarding having heard Last Dance by Donna Summer? How old were you when you heard that?
Oh, my God. I might have been 10. And that was the radio edit. That's one of the club mixes.
I figured. Yeah, I figured as much. I noticed the time factor. I think was around 9 minutes. So I thought, we made a mistake on that one. I don't know which versions we have. It looks like to me we have one other club version. The others look like they may be radio versions.
Oh well, sorry. I like the longer version the best.
We had one of the chatters was asking if that was a radio version, and I was thinking no, it's not. Does Donna Summer know you wrote this?
Yep. She's got a copy of it. She's supposed to, because Kathy Hawkins in Long Island runs her tribute site, and I talk to her periodically. In fact, she knows about tonight. Kathy does. Now, Donna doesn't, I'm sure, as of yet. But she said, oh, yeah, I can get it to her. I said, all right, I'll send you a copy. I autographed it and sent it to her, so... Donna's got it, but, you know, Donna gets a lot of stuff. I mean, she's a famous lady, but I hope that that she's pleased with it, and I hope that she's flattered by it, you know. I mean, it was a song written out of love, you know, for someone that has been woven into the tapestry of my life. I mean, you know,
well, like
every breath she sang.
I completely agree. I was stricken. Also, I love the way you managed, you inserted the lyric, a sweet summer night, I think. The word summer, not a summer, you can't help but notice the reference. Is that intentional?
Yeah, because it wasn't. It was in the summer, but Sweet Summer Night is also the name of her publishing company. If you ever read
her
records.
Right, I'd
sweet
forgotten
night,
that.
I think, BMI or ASCAP, I'm not sure which one she's a member of.
I'll be darned, I'd forgotten that. I had forgotten all about that. Genius. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, about Lance Corporal Higgins. We do a lot of political commentary here. Now, he was your nephew. Apparently, you were quite close to him.
I wasn't as close to him as I wanted to have been. His mother and I, his mother, Debbie, is my half-sister, if you will. Any attention to that garbage. And we just didn't get to see each other as much as we were growing up because our family was kind of split apart. And, I mean, the last time that I saw James was a couple of years ago when my grandfather, our grandfather, if you are his great-grandfather, died, and we were both pallbearers. But, you know, I went to, it was a very, very traumatic day when I found out about this because Debbie and I had really gotten reunited, and we're, you know, hanging out and doing the family thing, and we've been ever since. And she was so excited. I mean, you can't understand how excited she was knowing that he was going to be coming home. She had bought plane tickets. Everything was ready. And I remember I was having a vocal problem, I was at the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and my phone rang, and I couldn't take it. And I... called back afterwards, and it was her other sister, who's not really a blood relative of mine at all, and she had given me the news that James had gotten shot and killed. And you don't want to know the words that were coming out of my mouth going down the street. I was so angry. You know, I mean, I'm not happy about this war. I support these young men, well, they're not all young, men and women over there, and I want them home. And I have my very strong views about how I feel about this thing, and I just think that this needs to be over. And, you know, that struck home. I mean, you know, people can watch the news, and they can see this, and they can say that, but when it hits you and your family, it hits you right in the gut. And it was devastating, especially for, you know, I can't imagine losing a child. You know, I mean, I'm a very loving human being, and I love very hard, and when I lose something like an animal, you know, a pet, my grandmother died, I mean, it rips me apart. But I can't imagine being a mother or father and losing my child, and that's what she went through. And I didn't go to the big funeral. It was huge, and I didn't have the strength to do that, but I went to a private family gathering at the funeral home, and she approached me, and my niece Mindy had told her mother, she said, Debbie, come with me. She says, Mindy wants you to write a song about James. I says, okay, but, you know, I'm not Lennon and McCartney here. And it took a couple of tries, and one day I was sitting at my desk at work, and it was quiet, and these words just came to me. He was in flight school, amazing young man, and he actually he had his license, but I was just amazed by how mature and directed he was at his age, because me, I was like, when I was his age, I was like, you know, woohoo, you know, everything's. And this phrase came to me, have you learned to fly? And the words just spilled out of me. And then Debbie's like, I want you to get together with James's best friend. I call him Mike, but his name is James Michael Campbell. That's his full legal name. And she's like, he's a real good musician. I'm like, okay, sure, why not? You know, and it turns out he and I became real tight buddies. But we got together, and I says, look, you know, I need help with the melody. I've got ideas, but it's not really coming to me. And we just beat it back and forth. He helped me finish the chorus. And I thought, you know, who better to write this with than his best friend? Because if we can't write it, nobody can. And
well,
when
it's
we
a,
played
it's
the first time, she cried. And I said, I like, you know, then I smiled. I'm like, we did it right.
Well, I think you did it right, too. I've heard it. How much longer was James Higgins, how soon was he scheduled to come home when this happened to him?
He was shot 3 days before he was due to fly out.
Oh, Jesus. I'm so sorry to hear that. How long had he been there?
I don't know. I don't recall how long his tour duty was. I don't really know. I can't give you a definitive answer. I was just excited that he was going to be coming home. And I was happy for her, because I would be absolutely terrified, you know, of my child being over there. And he was on the front line. He was a very brave young man, very brave young man. And he went because he felt that it was what he was supposed to do, right or wrong, whether what anybody else believed, he did what he felt he had to do.
We understand here on this network, and we completely agree with you that we support the troops in as much as we want them home and we want them out of harm's way, and that they're doing what they felt they needed to do. And it's a pretty awful scenario, the whole situation. So many wonderful people. I'm sorry this struck so close to you. About how old was James?
James was 22.
Terrible tragedy.
Isn't it? It's awful. And in my county here, in Frederick County, Maryland, there, I believe there's been 5 young men that have been killed. That's a lot for a county of, what, 250,000 people?
Yes, I'd say
that's
so.
A lot.
That is
that's a pretty big ratio. And,
yes.
You know, it just seems like this thing isn't going to end, and more people, you know, the war supposedly ended.
Yeah, right.
Got killed during the war. It's afterwards everybody's been getting killed, and it's sad, you know. I mean, there's so many people on one side that, you know, think, you know, they want this war to happen, but there's people on the other. Are you still there?
Yes, sir, I am
here. Okay, I heard a beep here. I wasn't sure what happened, but, you know, I mean, I support these people. They're our brothers, sisters, and mothers, daughters, whatever. I support them. And I want this to end soon. I want them home. I want them back with their children, their wives, their boyfriends, their nieces, their nephews, whoever.
We understand.
You know, it's a human thing, and I just, you know, it really rips my gut out to see this. And, you know, I mean, I could go on about it for hours, but it's really gut-wrenching. And every day you turn on the news, there's some other horror. And somebody's child has been killed, somebody's father, somebody's mother, you know, and, you know, it's just news. But these are real people. These are people's lives. These are, you know, living, breathing people. And they're gone. And you cannot bring them back.
Yes, it's hard to make the attachment unless you had a relative. It's very hard to connect emotionally because the news particularly prevents an emotional connection, I think, intentionally, unless you actually know someone.
Yeah, it's a horrible thing. But the finished version of the song is not complete. I'm going to go in with Blake, I think, sometime here in the next several weeks and do a real polished version. We went and cut a demo, Mike and I, because I wanted to get it on wax so that we had it. It's going to have to be shortened, the version that I have now, and it's going to have to be, a little bit of arrangement done, but the essence of the song is going to be there, but I wanted a polished pop record. And we are going to do a video of this as well, and I'm going to slap it up on YouTube and wherever else I can push it, because I believe that, you know, this is a real loving message, and I think that it's a universal message. Again, I'm not Lennon and McCartney, but it doesn't always take Lennon and McCartney, great songwriters like that, to write something that comes from somebody's guts, their heart, their soul. You know,
I completely agree, and we're about to run that. Just before we do, I want to ask you about the memorial, the Fallen Soldiers at Rest. How is that proceeding? Is that look like it's going to go?
It's going to take a little while because it's going to be, sister Debbie is going back and forth with Washington because they're like, well, we want the National Memorial in Washington and have a little there in Rest Haven. But Rest Haven has been generous enough, and it's right along a major route highway, and that's also where James is buried. She wants it there. She's doing the campaigning, and it's you know, she's been raising funds. We did that poker run, and CBS was kind enough to come and do a feature story on it. She's just one little voice. But you know, sometimes it only takes one little voice to create a storm.
Well said.
And she's trying to get corporate sponsorship and other things, and it's a lot of pressure on one woman. But on the same token, I'm like, this is therapeutic for you because this, this will keep his memory along with other people, you know, that have perished, not just with Iraq, but also post-Vietnam.
I see.
And to, you know, I guess till this thing is over. And the design is pretty much done. I haven't seen the blueprints for that, but I know that they're there. It's the first time the county commissioners all came together and said, yes, 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 we approve.
Well, that's great news. Well, we'll run this track. The track is called Have You Learned to Fly, and this track is about Lance Corporal James W. Higgins, Jr., who was a pilot in Iraq who was killed only a matter of days/hours before he was plan to come home. So, Bob, if you'd run Have You Learned to Fly by Daryl Russ.
Sitting here in this empty room, wondering what I'm gonna do, surrounded by your memory. Why were you taken from me? So young and full of hopes and dreams, everything. Are you here and can you hear me cry and tell me, have you learned to fly? Have you reached the sky? Have you touched the stars like you touched my heart? Have you spread your wings? Tell me. is turning and I realize the light you shone upon my life burns brighter now that you've died. So young and full of hopes and dreams, I feel I've lost everything. Stars, like you touch my heart, have you spread your wings, have you taken flight, and tell me, have you learned to fly, have you learned to fly? Hard to get your wings like angels do in heaven's gleam. You laid your life on the line, you did what you had to do. I want you to know right now, I'll do my best to carry on. Carry on.
Well done, Daryl. I think that is a fine tribute to a no doubt wonderful young man that was struck down this senseless and outrageous and in every way that we can think of illegal war. God bless him. He was is doing what he was called to do, love of country, as so many are, and as so many find out too late that that's not what it's all about. I'm so sorry to hear that.
I appreciate that. And, you know, that song's also for all those that are there. You know, for them, those who are there now, and those who are no longer with us.
Well,
he was an inspiration, and he told his mother, "I don't want to be forgotten." And I hope to God he knows about the song. And no matter where it goes, music is eternal, and he'll always have a song.
Amen. Well, our friend John Fox, who is in fact our engineer and an accomplished songwriter musician himself, is asking me to tell you, this is via chat, that you like his writing and that you have a very nice. Twice said voice too. Tell us about, to move on to another area. Apparently, you were the featured soloist performer on a regional television station. When was that? How did that work?
Oh, that was through the curtain call shows in D.C. And I did a lot of her shows. It started, I think it was in 2000, and I did my last one with her. Goodness, I think it was last summer, not this past summer, but the summer before, and I hadn't done any since then, but I went to her auditions, and that was at a place called Catavez in D.C., and I got on the show, and it was, you know, not simulcast, but cablecast, if you will, all around the D.C. area. But what was cool about it was while I was there, there was a gentleman there that came up to me, and he goes, "Man, there's somebody that can really sing here." I went, "Well, thank you. He goes, "You want to come up to New York?" I said, "Sure." So I went up there and did one of those shows up there. And that was my first time really singing in New York. Now, I've been up there a few times since, and but I was really nervous. And, you know, I was basically a white guy, and it was a pretty much all-black crowd, and they loved me.
Well done, sir. Well done. How do you feel about the record labels? I notice you distribute via CD Baby and iTunes, and it seems to me a lot of the major performers are starting to do that. I believe I just read recently that from the Eurythmics, what is her name? Annie Lennox. Yes, thank you. Is switching over to private distribution. How have you been treated by the record labels, and how do you distribute your music?
Well, I haven't been picked up by a major yet, and Blake Alphen is one that's really been schooling me on these things, because he says, "Daryl, I'm a jaded record producer." So I asked questions, and I went rounds with a music publisher in Nashville, and finally just says, "You know what, I'm not cutting your song." It just got to be a real royal mess, and I said, "I like the song, but, you know, I was asking questions that I was told to ask," and he got a real attitude, and I'm like, "Look," I said, "hey, you know, I mean, you got a good song, I'd like to cut it, you know." And he was thinking that I was asking him to put money behind it. I said, "No, I'm not asking you for a nickel. All I want to know is, can you put it on somebody's desk?" So I finally said no, and I wouldn't make any money off of it anyway, because I'm not the writer. You know, the most important thing I have learned is that you want to hold on to your publishing. And though I haven't really made a whole lot of money, you know, I mean, these songs are mine. And it's funny, Chaka Khan had mentioned, you know, she goes, "I'm not cutting no more songs until I own them." And, you know, there's a legendary singer, you know, and she's upset because every, you know, she had Britton Simpson, great songwriters. But, you know, all she gets is basically the sales from her records, which she probably doesn't see a whole lot of, and she makes most of her money on the road, you know, whereas, you know, Donna Summer, another one who's more of a more accomplished songwriter, homegirl gets paid when Beyonce put "Love to Love You Baby" a Naughty Girl. Donna
well,
got
yes.
paid, and all she could do is sit home and say, "Thank you, baby, I love you."
Well, it looks to me this the upcoming re-release in Germany, the VAM, that's a bona fide record label in Germany?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're an independent. Razvan was part of a group called M69, and they've since split. I believe they were on a BMG label over there in Germany, and I think they had some minor hits, but he, you know, has branched off and got his own production company, and we've spoken on the phone a few times, and he called me one day. I was sitting here at home getting ready to go to my day job, and he's like, you know, got this call, and I'm like, hello? And it was him, and he was really impressed with me, and we've had telephone conferences since, and he really likes the song, and this was the least expensive way to start something, because it is expensive. I put a lot of money into this, and I haven't really broke even, so to speak, but I wouldn't trade any cent that I've spent, because in amongst all that, I've also learned a lot, and I've grown. You can't trade that for money, but I would like to eventually be able to get some momentum going, but it's difficult, and the music industry is changing. You've got music being swapped back and forth, and songwriters and singers and so forth aren't getting paid. The labels are starting to hurt. If you heard about Madonna signing that new deal for $120 million, and the industry is changing, and I'm trying to learn as much as I can in order to make the right choices, you know. But I've always been told, hold on to your publishing, because that is your lifeline. So
you're absolutely right. You're living in a time when the industry is in fact being redefined, primarily because of the internet, and there's a lot of confusion and struggle going on right now between the labels and the artists. And you were living in interesting times to be doing this.
Oh yeah, you know, and you know, I've got a friend who is helping me financially with this, and he's like, you know, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, I'm going to open my own little publishing house, like Dolly Parton said. Well, why can't I just go ahead and publish my own stuff? Why should I let somebody else publish it?
Well, you know. Speaking of tracks you have written yourself, I have a copy of a track here called Macalas, which is a very interesting track. What is the history behind that? I'd like to be sure that we run that in just a little while.
Okay, well, that's another little sad ballad, if you will.
We'll move on to the higher energy, I promise.
There's more in there. There's more in there. There's more high energy in there. I had befriended someone on, speaking of the internet, we had become good friends on the internet. He's a bit younger than I am, and we started talking on the phone, and, you know, he was telling me about his life, and we talked almost daily. And I didn't hear from him for quite a while, and I was like, I'm very worried. He was living in Tucson, Arizona, but he was a Greek native. And I finally got a message from his uncle that he had committed suicide.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm like, you're kidding me. You know,
So Macalas is his name.
Actually, it's Mikali.
Mikali.
It's a Greek name. Mikali, yeah. And I was shook out of my shoes. And I kept contact with his family well after that, and his uncle has since passed away. He was ill, and that was my last real close contact with the family. I've since lost contact, but I know that the song, the demo version of it that I cut, was played at his wake, his memorial service. And
I see. Was he a young man?
Yeah, he was, I think, maybe 19.
Yeah, so many people, I'm just assuming he was an LGBT person. I don't know that for a fact, but so many do. In the teenage years, so many either do or try, and which is another thing we're fighting against here to, you know, to make us less of a stranger to the world. So, that was the last contact. It must be haunting to you to know that happened after being in contact with him so long.
Yes, and, you know, I mean, it really, really hurt me. And I, again, there I was, you know, his uncle, Danny, kept telling me, you don't need another songwriter. I was contacting with the songwriter that I knew of in Nashville, and then she was saying, my publishing company. I'm like, you know, and he said, Daryl, look within yourself, and it will come to you. And it did. It did. I wrote it in my car. I was singing it in my car. I don't read music. I don't know any of those exigencies. I hear it in my head. And then my sister was dating a musician, and I said, all right, can you sit down with me and lay down the chords? And he did. He said, this is good. I said, you sure? He goes, I would tell you if it wasn't good. And I said, okay.
So then these are the two tracks, the one that we just played and the one that's coming up, which are about people, young people who have had untimely deaths. That's,
yeah.
You seem to be called to do that. Don't mean to.
I know.
It's a terrible way.
I support young people. I mean, you know, they're our future. You know, the people run around and make fun of their pants and this and that. And I'm like, look, when I was their age, I got picked on because I pegged my jeans. You know, when people were growing up in the 50s, they got picked on for greasing their hair. In the 60s, their hair got long. They got picked on about that. Everybody turned out fine.
Yeah, this is true.
It's just a thing, you know. I mean, I wouldn't wear my pants down around my ankles, but who's to say? Hey,
right.
If I was their age, I might like it.
Yeah, so. And again, the pronunciation of the song, again, is...
Macaulay.
Macaulay. Okay, let's run that, Bob, if you would, my Macaulay. Okay, Bob, are you with us to run Macaulay? I'm here.
Looking out my window to the deep blue sky. Are you flying upon a wing as you were heaven in my eyes? Oh, Macaulay, I never met you, met you face to face. But I loved you just the same, wish you could hear me sing.
Brought my heart to life again, Macaulay. I loved you so.
well done and a very touching song. And by the way, Daryl, we have your CD Baby link up at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. Those of you who want to order his work, it's available via iTunes, CD Baby, and another, which I don't recall, but we do have the CD Baby link up. What are the others, Daryl?
Well, I have Snowcap, and I ran into problems because Blake sent them in wave format. They're up there, but I've got to get them in MP3, and then they're going to be right on my MySpace. You can pull them right down off of there. Everything. Everything should be there.
Well, I'm going to let you choose to intro the next track. I'll tell you one that intrigues me, though, is this Inside of Me that was produced by Julian Marsh.
Yeah, that's the first song that I ever really worked on in songwriting. Julian Marsh, bless his heart, told me, says, I met him in Baltimore, and he's like, Daryl, it's not that difficult. And this is one of my more rough, it was one of the first things that I did in songwriting, so if it's not as good as other stuff, don't shoot me and Julian, you know. But and I know people get you know, about that song, but it's really just about you know inside of yourself, you're like, it's over, that type of thing. You know, that's what it's about. I mean, some people can put whatever they want to it. I can only imagine, but.
I see. And this was released on the EP that was released earlier?
No, I didn't put it on there. In fact, I haven't really put it up to sell. I have it on my website.
I see. And you're choosing not to sell it because it's an early version, because I think it's quite good.
Yeah, I may very well put it up on iTunes, and I know Julian has it up for licensing. It's still on his site. He's since retired from pretty much doing the circuit DJ thing. Again, like I said, I met him in Baltimore. He's a real cool guy. Real cool guy. I really enjoyed meeting him and working with him. He's since gone into real estate, and hopefully with the real estate crunch, he's able to make a little money.
Well, that's true.
A real estate agent, so it's tough right now.
Julian is a bit of a legend. Well, we still have time to run all of your music. We have a few tracks after this. So, Bob, if you would run "Inside of Me," which was produced by Julian Marsh, who's also a legend in the dance world. Thank you. This is "Inside of Me." Daryl, that song is fabulous. How could you not release it?
Well, then maybe I'll put it on the album.
Well, it's just fabulous. It's got every ingredient. It's, you know, it's got the driving beat, the excellent synthesizer line, and you'd have to be a knuckle brain to try to interpret the lyrics. I mean, you know, some people are pea-brained like that. I totally get that. But by the same token, I think it's just fabulous. You've got to release that song.
All right, I'll put it on the album. That's not a problem.
Well, I think
Blake's going to be doing the mastering. I'll use it as a bonus track. I'm sure Julian would appreciate that.
Well, Julian's such
a great guy.
Well, he is. He is. He's done the. He's legend and has done so many wonderful remixes for so many years. I hope he does well in real estate. Tell us what else is coming up on the new album.
Well, there's a song on there that I really like. Well, I liked all of them, but I heard Justin Timberlake's album, and the first track off of it just blew me away. That Future Sex, that driving, funky. It's so retro. I was just like, that is old funk. And Timbaland did a fantastic job producing that. And I was like, ooh, that Future Sex love sound. Boom, 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 boom. I thought, I want to do something like that.
Yes.
It's sexy. It's got an attitude. And, you know, it just blew me away. And it took us a little while. And, we finally hit this. I'm having a senior moment, but I want to say it's called "I Need Love," but I know that's not the title of the song, and I don't have everything right in front of me.
The tracks that we have in the queue for this evening that we've uploaded are "Spanish Angel" and "Don't Remember Me," and "Everybody's Looking for Something" are the remaining.
Oh, then you don't have that one there. Darn.
Darn! I'm so sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it. That'll.
But I'll tell you what I will do. I will run it as a dance track of the night one evening this week. We have every evening I run a dance track of the night, so we'll just have to get it.
Yeah, you can just contact Blake and he'll pull it down for you because it's. Oh, I had so much fun cutting it. You know, I got together with his brother Dave and another writer actually who did the lyrics that I have not met personally. And I was like, ooh, yeah. And it just, a few takes and a few little things here, but we put it together. I'm like, oh, that is just funky. And it's just got an attitude for me. I had a ball cutting it. But if you've got Everybody's Looking for Something, that there is what I call Barry White with a tenor voice. This is a sexy song. I sang that
wonderful
up in New York at a club up there, and I was so nervous because we got into town real late, and it was just a mess, and it started to rain. This was last November 9th last year. I got into town real late, and I had gotten a friend of mine, an executive at Armani Exchange, and I now get 30% off, I think, for life. So I had to rush down to Soho. I got soaking, sopping, wringing wet. I walked in, this real sweet young lady. I said, darling, I'm supposed to be singing in like about 3 hours, and I need to look good. Can you help me? I know I don't look like nothing right now. I look like something that the cat drug in. But she helped me pick out some stuff, and my sister Debbie was meeting me there with my niece Mindy, and it was just a real stressful evening. And I remember my friend Kevin looking at me. He goes, Daryl, you need a little shot of vodka, don't you? I said, oh, yeah. And, well, I had three. And then it was martini night up here at this club, and at the Vlada Lounge, I was having another senior moment, and they were featuring me that night. I just did a 3 or 4 song set, and I remember getting up and singing that song, and my niece was like, oh my God, Uncle Daryl, you were getting down on that microphone. And I said, well, baby, you know, between the vodka and the song, I was ready to rock.
Now, the Vlada Lounge, is that an LGBT club in New York?
Yeah, and it was, you know, a real, I had a blast, you know, and after that, you know, I'm not Patsy Cline. I can't keep singing when I'm drunk. So after that, we just broke out the martinis. I said, well, I'm done singing. It's time to party.
So funny. Patsy Cline could sure do that. Well, Vlada sounds like a Russian name. Is that a Russian name for the club?
No. Chaka Khan has been known to come in there. Liza Minnelli, a lot of notables just kind of pop in. I'm like, ooh, I hope Chaka pops in tonight. You know, I say, hey, baby, let's get it on, you know.
Well, tell us about Everybody's Looking for Something. Now, apparently your producer co-wrote that with a name I dare not pronounce.
Noah Tylo.
Yes, thank you.
Noah Tylo is actually, he's on the club chart right now. And I emailed him today. I keep close contact with him. In fact, the last time I was up in New York, we finally get to meet face-to-face, and he's got a song out. It just hit, oh, goodness, it's called Let's Do It. And it, to meet him, he's such a cool guy. He's so funny, and I had a ball with him. My sister and I, we were working the room because we were networking and everything, and Noah's, he's from South Africa, and he's, I have a friend online that I talk to quite often. He's like, oh, I've seen him on TV down here, and he writes great lyrics, you know, but he does, he's got a real sexually driven show, and his songs are real sexy, but he's just a real nice guy. And I spent the whole evening with him, and we were just sitting there partying, and there was a rap group in there because it was a showcase. And supposedly they were packing. This was at the Iguana. Just a couple
yes,
doors
Club
down
Iguana.
54. Club Iguana.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, no. I said, well, if they start blowing, let's just grab our drinks and hit the floor. Oh, it was a stitch. But he and I had a ball. And he writes fantastic lyrics. And he wrote the lyrics to this for me. And we took it and we gave it a groove and a melody, and he really liked it. And he says, Daryl, you have an amazing voice. I'm like, well, thank you. You know, I just think I got a big mouth. You know, I said, I hope you're pleased with what we did with your words. And I love singing this song. It comes out of me. There's dynamics in it, but it just, you know, it feels good.
Well, with that, then, let's definitely run it. The track is called Everybody's Looking for Something. Absolutely well done. And the description of Barry White as a tenor is absolutely accurate. Your range, you have such a wide range from the high-energy dance to the more somber to this is much more of an R&B type track, at least that's what I would call it. How do you manage to merge all of these in a live performance?
I just do. I mean, I let the song tell the story. You know, I mean, each song is its own little entity, and, you know, I just live it, whatever it is. You know, I just try to live it. Both my parents said, live it when you sing it. And I like living that song. That just feels, it's got that, I don't know, that Barry White, that love to love you, baby kind of thing going on. And, you know, I don't care what you are. If it gets you going, get it on.
Well, your shows apparently are known for being a high energy stage performance. I was just wondering how you must have to shift so many gears, but apparently the crowds love it.
Well, I'll tell you, the best crowds that I've ever had are black women. Oh God, they're a great audience, man. Oh my goodness. If I remember, I went to something down in Annapolis, Maryland, one of these curtain call things, and they put me on at the end. I was in this big convention hall thing, and they put me on toward the end. Well, everybody had left almost, but there were some women there, and let me tell you, them girls was giving me some love. And when you get that love, you can give it back tenfold. You know, you give a little love, but when you get back, it starts to reflect, you know. And I'm like, oh yeah, come on baby, groove with me now. And that, you know, that in itself is just something that you can't really put your finger on, but it feels real good.
I should say so. It's an amazing range. It really is. How long ago did you record that? Was that a fairly recent track? And and this was when you met. I'm trying to put it together with Dave Athlin. How was he involved in it?
Well, he actually. The way we did this is this was Dave's training thing, if you will. Blake said, "Hey, you know, you can cut this with him real in it. I want to break his chops." And well, he's a drummer. Dave is, and he's the way I was going to sing it, and the way that he was pushing me to sing it. I'm glad he told me to sing it the way he wanted me to sing it, because he was right. You know, I'll sit there and go, "Wait a minute. We'll go back and forth." You know, but I'm like, Dave, you were right. That's the way I should sing it. He says, you can do all that later. I'm like, you're right. So I go in there and I keep my mind open, because sometimes somebody else might have an idea that you as the interpreter or whatever, you might not have thought about, and where you want to go bananas. They say, no, keep it low key there. And Blake, you know, one that told me, he said, Daryl, you know, you got this bravura, you can do all this belting and all that. He says, but I like it when you sing soft. I mean, don't lose the belting, but when you sing soft, it's intelligent. I'm like, I've never been called intelligent before, but I'll take your word for it. And I really appreciate that, because that's helped me grow, you know, as a singer and interpreter, I hope someone would consider me an artist, to, you know, hone my craft as best I can and be the best that I can be. And I always want to grow. I don't want to be stagnant. You know what I mean? You you want to always feel like growing and doing more and putting more into it that you didn't have before, if that makes sense.
Well, yes, well, it does. I guess my point of confusion is I may be confused between Dave Afflin and Blake. Aren't they? Do they have the same last name or a similar last name?
Yes, they're brothers.
That's it. Okay, so I was thinking, okay, I was wondering how I was registered. So Dave is not your producer then. He's the producer's brother.
Yes, but he did produce that track for Human Factor. Human Factor's the company.
Yes. Go ahead.
I worked with both he and Blake. And this when I go in to cut Have You Learned to Fly, I'm going to cut that with Blake. Because Blake is a little more of a bigger pop record. Dave is a little more the... both of them are really great to work with. You know,
so they must come from a musical family also.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently so. Well, I need to point out to you our very own Billy Shears, who does a program here on Saturday evening called Night Sounds with Billy Shears.
Mm-hmm.
It starts at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Head On Radio Network and runs till midnight on Saturdays. Billy Shears has popped into our production or is passing on to production. He absolutely loves the last track, and he would like to use it on the Night Sounds with Billy Shears coming up. I'm not sure if it'll be this weekend or the following. It depends on where he is in putting together his program, but he just loves the track.
Oh, by all means.
Okay, and I'll shoot you some information about Billy Shears. He's one of a kind. The music shows he puts together are just astounding. It's so much music from so many different sources. It's like walking through a winter wonderland. You just can't believe it. So that's a good endorsement if Billy likes it. There are a couple of tracks here I don't want to overlook. I listened to Spanish Angel earlier. Now, if I recall, that was one of the slower songs, Medley of
Bad.
My Heart.
That's
now,
High Energy.
Oh, that was a high. Okay, because I listened to them once. Has that been released, or is it one that you're keeping back
on? Yeah, that's on the EP.
I see.
EP.
So
that's at iTunes, and soon to be at Snowcap.
Well, how did you come up? But tell us about Spanish Angel. Did you write it? It's
I wrote the lyrics. The song is originally called Guitar G. And it was written by Gerald Elms, and I believe he's out of Europe, and I've given him songwriting credit. I wrote the lyrics. I heard this track, and I put it together sort of like, I don't know if you, well, getting back to Donna Summer, you know, when she heard the music to the song on the radio, the words came to her. She said, Giorgio wrote this beautiful music, and I was like, oh my goodness, and she just sat down. I listened to this, I found a pattern, and the beautiful guitar work in it, Spanish Angel came to me, and I just, you know, it all came together, and I was just like, oh my God, this is beautiful. And I haven't been inspired like that since, and I just fell in love with it, and I thought, oh, this is beautiful. I performed it live, and I get one heck of a hand out of it.
Now, is there an extended dance version of this? I noticed the version that I have uploaded is just under 4 minutes. Is this the radio version?
No, that's the one that Glenn's going to extend.
Ah, bless Glenn's heart. Okay, so Glenn is going to do it. Well, Glenn does a masterful job. He can extend a track, and he does it in such a way that it's always, every phrase is always something of a surprise. Very good job.
Yeah,
well, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
I badgered him and badgered him, and I give him ideas, and then here they come. I remember I said, hey, you need to do some work on Knock on Wood by Amy Stewart. That's one of my all-time favorites. Next thing I know, there it was.
Yeah. Glenn is a treasure. Just speak it, and there it appears. Well, then let's run Spanish Angel, then. It's a friend, Melody of My Heart, Spanish Angel.
to me, set me free. You're the melody of my heart. Oh yeah, sing to me, set me free. You're the melody of my heart. Oh yeah, sing to me, set me free. You're the melody of my heart.
I could just, that's a great track. I can just imagine. What do you bet that Glenn starts that track by using the bit at the very end? I just have a feeling.
Probably.
Glenn, he does a good job with that stuff. And I really enjoyed that track. That is an excellent track. And that was on the EP that's already been released. Right.
Yeah.
Tell us about Gunther.
They call him Yogi. We haven't formalized anything yet. He is actually doing some shopping of me to the labels over there as well. But he's the one that's very close with Donna Summer. In fact, they were involved in a television program back in the 70s, and he's produced some hits in Germany and Europe for Fabrizio La Vida, number one, who was the Pop Idol winner, I think, the first year over there, and he had a hit with him called Ticento, and it's beautiful. And he's also done some other stuff with some other artists, but he has been, about a year ago, he and Donna got together with her husband, Bruce. They were over there. I believe it might have been for the Night of the Proms. That's a big event, actually, in the Netherlands, which she headlined, and they talked about getting her together with Fabrizio for a duet, supposedly, like, you know, the older woman speaks to the younger man type of thing, he was talking about cutting that sometime here in the fall, and I'm like, I want to come over and do the backup for that. I would, you know, give my right arm to be there if I could be there.
What a trip.
And, you know, he would like to work with me. Can't afford him at $10,000 a track. No, not
whoa.
I can't justify that, but we've spoken on the phone on several occasions, and he's a really interesting man, and he's very talented, and we do hope to work together. It's just a matter, he said it's a matter of getting the right person at the right day in the right mood. He says, I think you're really good. He believes in me as an artist. And I've always felt that I had an audience, if you will, in Europe. More so than here in the United States, because the United States is very difficult to break into. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to be successful here. Like that fantastic singer Anastasia. I'm sure you know who she is.
Well, yes, sure.
Oh, God, I love that woman. She's just like the cross between Taylor Dane and Tina Turner. And,
great.
You know, they've tried to really push her over here. They put her on the Diva show, and she's huge in Europe, absolutely huge. And, you know, I would love to have a smidgen of that.
Oh, I should think so. That would be an incredible adventure to do something with Donna Summer, and the potential of a duet with Donna. You know, it's about time that Donna Summer came back kicking butt, and you might be just the fellow to do it with.
Well, I would only be doing the backup. Fabrizio would be doing I wouldn't be quite that best. But have you heard the rumor mill?
Mm-hmm. No.
These record producers, is it the Fallout Boys out of the UK? Again, this is speculation, but they are confirming. But again, these two singers have not confirmed themselves, but Beyonce and Donna Summer are supposedly going to be doing this song called Heat.
Really?
Beyonce featuring Donna Summer.
Oh, now that's going to be a trip. And is this something, a near future event, do we think?
Well, they are apparently both working with these guys. Because Donna, as I understand, last I heard, she was in L.A. Working with younger producers. Because, I mean, you know, that lady has still got the chops to throw out some big hits. You know, I think she can break top 40 like Cher did 8 years ago. I think she can do it. You know, she's just got that voice like Aretha, like Tina, is a voice that can produce hit records. I truly believe that.
Well, I completely agree. And Cher keeps coming back again and again. In fact, I've made jokes in the show that, you know, she's the woman that would not die. Not that I want her to die by any stretch of the imagination. I love her. But, you know, Donna Summer's equally capable of just wowing the whole planet.
Oh, my God, yeah, that voice. You know, the first time that I heard her live, I was like, wow. I mean, they don't make voices like that anymore. That voice is so big. And the records don't get it because I'm sure that they have to put it back some because it's so strong. And you're standing there in your chair at the arena and it just comes in right in the middle of your chest. You know, I mean, and a friend of mine saw her in New York at Radio City Music Hall, and she does the best version of Don't Cry For Me Argentina I have ever heard. And, of course, I know Patti LuPone made that famous. But he said when she hit that high note at the end, Radio City Music Hall, I believe it was where she was, he said the place seemed like it was shaking.
Well, I have an old voice. Remix of her doing Don't Cry For Me Argentina, and I honestly can't call off the top of my head which remix it was or where it falls. And I DJ'd years and years ago back when dinosaurs used to dance and we all had vinyl and CDs hadn't been invented yet. And so I'm not sure exactly where it fits in the whole history, but it's just fabulous. And in fact, I wanted to run it as a dance track of the night one evening for everyone to hear. Our audience, we have a lot of straight folks. We inherit from Bob's show, and so a lot of them have not heard some of these remixes, this just such fun stuff.
Oh,
really?
Yeah,
is.
I mean, and that, but you know, the voice alone, and this lady, you know, and I've been talking about her, I always do, because I just think she's a phenomenal talent. You know, the voice has never really been appreciated, even though she held her own with Barbara Streisand and, you know, Liza Minnelli singers, you know, and held her own very well. Never really been appreciated as this singer. They consider her this disco queen. I'm like, yeah, well, listen to that voice. And you know, she's done rock and roll, she's done funk, R&B, gospel, won Grammys in 5 or 6 categories. You know, I'm like, hey, this lady's got some chops. And, you know, I'm just amazed by the voice. That voice is phenomenal.
I agree. The time is running short, and there's a couple of things I wanted to get in with you before, because we have an automated system here. In fact, we have another show that comes on after this, so I can't stomp on Joe. But okay. Who is our next host? He's wonderful. Anyway, he's moving from a day slot to night slot tonight, which is great, and I'll tell you guys about it in a minute. But anyway, where was I? Yes, about releasing this in the fall. Are you thinking of delaying it out to spring? Because you brought that up earlier. You said it was running a bit behind. Is that code for I think I might wait till spring?
Yep. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to because of the schedule in Germany. I've got other remixes. I've got one that just came from Germany about a week ago. I want to give Glenn ample time. And, you know, I don't want to rush something out there just to get it out there. I want to make sure that we put it out there at the right time so that everything gets the right life. I'm not getting any younger, but that's not going to change anyway. So, you know, if it's a month or two, fine. If it would make it more marketable and so forth, then, you know, and I can get a stronger product out there, then I'm going to have to, you know, wait, which is basically just weeks. You know, I want to make sure that every I is dotted, every T is crossed, everybody is thanked, every credit is given that needs to be given, and that the artwork, everything is, you know.
I agree. It's actually a metaphor for life. Sometimes everything can be perfect except the timing, mm-hmm. and that's all it takes to completely destroy something that I can understand. And how does Blake feel about that?
He seems to think it's okay. And as far as I know, Razvan I don't think that's going to be a problem with him because he's going to be doing, I think, two or three different versions of it. And again, he's going to be the one that's shipping the song to radio and to the club. So I'm wondering, you know, I want to make sure if he needs this full CD for any marketing, I want to make sure that he's got it. You know, I'm going to have posters and all that stuff. And, you know,
I was
a little silly, but, you know, I got to put all that out and have it ready and
promotion,
sign them and whatever.
Promotion always feels a little silly, doesn't it? But it's something we have to do. Listen, I was very serious about if you can come up with a something you can send into us from your mother's track from the 45. I'd love to play it. And also, please don't forget to somehow get me a copy of the track that we missed. I'd love to run it as a dance track of the night with credit to you. If you think we can pull that off sometime, maybe next week, is that something you think we could do?
Yep,
I'd love to do it.
The song's called "I Never Knew." It's called "I Never Knew," and I think it's a very sexy song, and yeah, I could badger Blake to get that to you and put it right up there where you got this, and he can throw it up there for you, and I can badger him to email you and let you know that it's there. I'd love for you to play it.
Okay, wonderful.
And I will try to find my mother's track as well. It's country and western.
It would be a wonderful story to tell. I'm looking forward to it. And it's always fun to do tracks that have stories. Blake, you have been... Blake, please forgive
me. Okay.
Please do not bitch slap me. Daryl, you have been a wonderful guest. I have enjoyed talking to you immensely, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. I think everyone is quite impressed with your range. I know I am. And the things you do, the disparity between from one end to the other just shows an amazing talent. Most people are stuck in an individual mold. And thank you so much for joining us this evening and hope to have you
thank
back.
Thank you.
All right. And good evening to you, and please stay in touch. Thank you. And that, my friends, was Daryl Russ, an amazing guest here on Strictly Confidential. As we close this evening, I want to remind you that tomorrow night's guest is Lisa Kernsky, Lisa Kernsky. She is the executive director of the LGBT Aging Project in Massachusetts. Lisa will be the first in a series of guests that discuss aging issues in the LGBT.